This is Children's Day, and the message is for everyone. So we want you all to listen, but the message is especially for the children. And we trust that you'll sit up now and listen really well. Samuel, did you get my message? Sometimes the best way to get a wee message across is by a WhatsApp or something, and I don't always get them. And then somebody comes and hands me a piece of paper. So if you see me getting a piece of paper, it's usually because I didn't get the wee text that there was something to announce. But I've asked Samuel for something, and he's going to get it for me. I want to set my Bible on it in a wee moment. Thank you, Samuel. There's no more important book in the whole world, children, as you know, than the one I've got in my hand. And this is the precious Word of God. We call it the Bible. And this will always feature in all of our meetings, wherever we go. The Word of God must always be central, because we don't have any other message. There'd be no point in me coming to you today with some kind of message that I've thought up in my head, because it wouldn't do you any good. But if I come with a message from God and it's from this Word, it's going to do you good if you listen. And we want to read some verses from Isaiah 53. Some of you will know this off by heart. It's one of those passages that we will learn at some stage, I'm sure, in Sunday school or at a children's meeting. Isaiah 53. Perhaps there's not a greater chapter in all the Old Testament Scripture that speaks more about Christ and his humiliation and his sufferings upon the cross. There are 12 verses. I'm going to read just the first 6. And if you have your Bible, look it up, follow it. If you don't, listen. Listen to what the Word of God is telling us here. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, I brought something with me. It's always good to have something and a wee bag. And children at this stage are hoping that it's goodies, you know, something nice, maybe something that they could have, something that they could eat after the service. I'm going to tell you now so you're not disappointed. There's nothing like that in the bag. All right, so don't be disappointed. But I do have a couple of things. And the first one is this. Does anybody know what that is?
A bee.
Hmm?
A bee.
Do you know the name of it? In fact, if I could just pull one off.
A bee.
It's green, it is. It is a leaf, but do you know what kind? Naomi. A docking leaf. Are you sure? You know the actual term is a dock leaf. Now, Mr. Kearns is there. You come from Belfast. I can remember wee Belfast man talking about a docking leaf. You see, that's the way I think that. I don't want to offend my parents-in-law that are here either. But yes, a dock leaf or a dock leaf. And this is Father's Day, isn't it? But if it was Mother's Day, would you go out into the field and gather some of these for your mum? Huh? Would you do that and bring her a little posy of docking leaves? Why not? because they're not very pretty, are they? And there's no flowers. Now, I think if you were wanting to give something nice to your mother on Mother's Day or her birthday or some other special day or even just an ordinary day, just to say, Mom, I'm thinking about you, I love you, you might gather some nice little flowers. I don't think that you would gather docking leaves because they're not really that pretty. Now, we read in the Word of God about our Savior growing up in this world, just as you children are growing up. And it tells us that he grew up like a tender plant, like a root out of dry ground. It says that he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And I thought of this here, and I thought, you know, there's not a lot of beauty in the docking leaf. And it reminds us of the Savior. Now, if you're a Christian, you will have come to see the beauty that there is to be found in Christ. But if you're not a Christian, you have not seen that beauty yet. I was visiting in the home this week, and we were just thinking about these things. You know, why do people not get saved? Why do they not get right with God? They come to the meetings, they listen to the gospel, and sometimes people will tell a preacher on the way out, I just wonder why the unconverted don't get saved. Listening to a message like that, I can remember one time preaching in Romania on the cross of Christ, and there was a wee woman spoke to me on the way out, and she said to me, you know, if I wasn't a Christian, I would become a Christian tonight when I hear of what Jesus did for me at the cross of Calvary. But you see, the great problem is the unconverted in their natural state, they don't see beauty in Christ. They don't see why they should be saved. And we were just talking in the home this week about the tabernacle. You know what the tabernacle is? You read about it in the Old Testament. Maybe some of you are studying it in Sunday school. And the tabernacle was set up in the wilderness for those 40 years, and later it was set up in Shiloh for a period of time. And if you've done a study on the tabernacle, you will know that if you were able just to see over the large fence that went round about that structure, the proper structure, you would look upon it and you would think, there's not a lot of beauty there, because it was just animal skins that covered the outside. They were gray and they were drab. It wasn't until you got inside the tabernacle, and if you read the descriptions, you'll read the beautiful colors and the cherubim and all that glorious sight that was inside that is associated with the presence of God, especially in the holiest of all. And of course, that is a representation of Christ. It's not until you get in there and you come to know him that you see that there's great beauty in Christ. And so people don't find Christ attractive. I don't want to be saved. I don't want my sins forgiven. I don't want to trust in the Lord. And so he is rejected of man. That's what the prophet tells us here. I've got something else in my bag. Do you know what that is? I think everybody should know what it is. What's the proper name of it? A nettle. Do you know what a nettle is? You do. Will anyone allow me to stroke your hand with it? No. You know, we have one or two silly people everywhere. And there's one or two silly people down there. Would you like me to stroke your hand with this? No, she's sensible. Why not? Why not? Because it would sting you. It would sting you. Not very pleasant. Not very pleasant. They say if you grab the nettle quickly, it doesn't sting you. Elaine. No, do you not believe me?
No.
Well, they tell me that that is true. You know, there's a saying, you just grab the nettle, and if you do it, it'll not sting you. But I'm not going to try it either, just in case. Children, it reminds me that sin stings. Sin stings. Not very pleasant. Sin hurts. And if you were to be stung by this nettle, you would discover that blisters would come on your hands and your arms. I can remember one time as a little child falling into the middle of a whole bunch of nettles. And it wasn't pleasant. I got my arms stung, my legs were stung, and I didn't feel very good. And sin stings, and it stings everyone. All we like sheep have gone astray. That's what we read there. We have turned everyone to his own way. And that's speaking about our sin. We turn to our own way of sin. Don't find beauty in Christ, so we turn to our sin. Every one of us. You might not like to admit that, but it is true. The smallest child here, we've got some small children sitting at the front, and there were others maybe had to go out. But, you know, you children are looking beautiful today, and your mom and dad, I'm sure they're very proud of you coming and singing at Children's Day. But there's something inside you that's not very nice, and that is sin. The Bible says we're born in sin. And the oldest person here has got the same problem. I'm not going to ask what age you are. I sort of nearly got there this morning at the early morning prayer meeting with Sadie. She just happened to be the oldest person at the prayer meeting this morning. But the oldest person here has still the same problem of sin in his or her life and all the ages in between. For the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And sin is not a pleasant thing. Sin stings. Sin does you harm. And it's not long before a little child, looking so beautiful as you are outside, you begin to see the manifestations of sin inside, on the outside. And it's not long before children say no, and they get bad-tempered, and they grow up, and they go astray. If they don't find the Lord, they go astray. And sometimes we see what sin really does and the sting that it really causes. You know, I have a friend in Ballymoney, and he's been my friend for a very long time. But he has a problem. He has a problem with alcohol. Have you ever seen a drunk man? And I have seen what sin has done to this man's life, what alcohol has done. And I have been in his home many times, and it's not the kind of home I'm sure you live in. And I have met him many times in the past. He's come to our door, and he just looked terrible because of what sin has done. I can remember one time meeting him. It was getting dark, just down the road there, and the blood was pouring out of his head, and his head was swollen. And I thought the man was going to bleed to death. I thought he was going to die. And we had to ring an ambulance and get him into hospital because this man had taken so much alcohol, he had fallen over, he had cut himself. And I'm still surprised that he's living today. That's what sin does. I have been in the homes of young people who have taken drugs. And if you could just see the awful state that they're in and what drugs have done to them. And we have a missionary, Chris Killen, who works with the drug addicts of this province, and he could tell you story after story after story of young people, and their lives are broken, and many of them have died. Chris has seen many of them die because of drug addiction, because sin is going to take you further than you want to go, and you better believe that. And even in the little member, the little tongue that we have, there's a whole chapter in the book of James that is devoted to talking about the tongue, and the tongue can cause a lot of harm, people speaking and saying cruel things. We see sin in all its shapes and all its forms. And what does sin do? It stings a man. And you know what the Bible tells us? When sin is finished with you, it destroys you, it kills you, and it brings you to destruction. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So is there a remedy? Is there something that can save us from this death? Is there something that can help us when we're stung by sin? Is there? Do you know any remedy?
No.
Do you know anything that we could use?
No.
No? What about this? See, maybe the children nowadays, they're too posh to go into fields and mix with nettles and these kind of things. Maybe they are. I don't know. Maybe the children of today, they're just so used to on their phones and their little gadgets. They don't get out much, but if you did get out much and your parents were teaching you one or two little things about the country way, you would realize that the docking leaf is a remedy. It is a remedy. And remember, we've talked about Christ growing up in this world just like a tender plant, no form, no comeliness, no beauty, that we should desire him. Jesus Christ is the remedy for our sin. And some of the docking leaves, I just couldn't get one this morning. I went down the road this morning and I wanted to get them fresh so they wouldn't look like that. But it doesn't take long for them to go limp. And I'm sure my neighbors were wondering, what is that minister doing? Bending over into that field where the horses are. What's he getting there? But this is what I was getting. And sometimes a docking leaf has, in the little veins here, they're actually red. And I thought about that one time because it reminds me of the blood of the Savior. And in this docking leaf, you can see little sort of red parts to it. And it is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all of our sin. And we read in the scriptures how the Lord Jesus went to the cross and there he died and there he poured out his life's blood as the remedy for our sin. But children, it has to be applied. You understand that? It has to be applied. If you got stung by nettles and you got this docking leaf and you just looked at it, wouldn't do you any good. You've got to apply it to the sting for it to do any good. And you must apply the work of Christ. That work that he did upon the cross, that work that we call redemption. Redemption has to be applied. And how is it applied? By receiving Christ into your life, into your heart as your Savior. As many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So it must be applied. But there's something else. It has to be bruised. You know that? I think I'll take another leaf off. But whenever I was a child and I got stung, you would take this and you would crush it and you would really, really rub it into the nettle sting. And this here became all crushed and broken. But as it was crushed and broken, it released whatever's inside the leaf. And you applied the remedy. And that took away the soreness of the sting. Jesus Christ had to be bruised. He had to be crushed upon the cross of Calvary. And by his stripes were healed. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And children, just as you have to apply it and it has to be bruised to do you good, so the work of Jesus Christ must be applied. And Jesus Christ was crushed on the cross of Calvary. And from him there came, through his precious blood, healing power to cleanse us from our sin and to make us righteous in his sight. Where do docking leaves grow? Where do they grow? Do you know? Among nettles. You know, that is so true. Usually, where you see nettles, you see docking leaves. There's a wonderful truth here as well to learn. Where there is sin, there is grace and there's mercy and forgiveness to be found. The Bible says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And the remedy is right there, right beside us. Jesus Christ, our Savior, he is at hand. He's right beside the sinner. He's so near to us that we read, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's how near he is. He's able to hear you when you pray. He's able to hear you when you call. And if you call on him, it says you shall be saved. And I would encourage you to trust him now. To trust him now. To come to the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the only remedy for our sin. The message for the children is the message for all. I wonder, have you been to Christ? Have you been redeemed? Has the remedy been applied to your life, to your heart, and your sins washed away? Only Christ can do that. It is our prayer that you will come to the Savior. Let's have a wee word of prayer.